Two old ladies were walking around in a somewhat overcrowded English country churchyard, and they came upon a tombstone. The inscription said, "Here lies John Smith, a politician and an honest man." One lady said to the other, "Good heavens, isn't it terrible that they had to put two people in the same grave?" I almost titled the sermon this morning, Character. But then I realized as I thought and pored over it that character wasn't enough, that I realized character wasn't specific enough, that everybody has character, but only a certain caliber of character is integrity. And that's what we're talking about. Specifically, this godly wisdom we've been talking about, that only godly character can lead to integrity. And so Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." And that's what we're talking about, the integrity of the upright and how God calls us to integrity. There's a proverb that also says in 11:22, "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without good sense." And I pondered on that and thought, if a beautiful woman without good sense is a gold ring in a pig's snout, it makes you wonder what an ugly man is with no sense. It's a funny proverb, but it says something very significant to us. It says that when it comes to a person's character, we don't wear our character so much as our character wears us. Our personhood takes shape by our character. You ever hear someone say, "You're acting ugly," or, "Oh, that's ugly, don't say that"? They're talking literally, your physical appearance changes by how you're behaving. Or maybe you've heard someone say, "Your reputation precedes you," that your character comes in before your physical body does. Because our personhood is so much more than the confines of our skin. People get a feel for who we are by our character. And so we want to think about integrity, this godly character, because our character becomes just as visible to others, or more so, than our physical features. Now, the dictionary defines integrity as this: it's the state of being complete and unified. When I have integrity, my words and my deeds match up. It means to have integrity that I am who I am no matter where I am or who I am with, that it all matches up. John Maxwell has a good quote on integrity. It says this: "A person with integrity does not have divided loyalties," that would be duplicity, "nor is he or she merely pretending," that's hypocrisy. "People with integrity are whole people. They can be identified by their single-mindedness. People with integrity have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. Their lives are open books." We think about if it's this advantageous to have integrity, why doesn't everybody have integrity? Why is godly character not the norm? And I think there are some problems in the world for why integrity is not our default button. Number one, I think we don't see integrity as the norm because we settle for the standards around us. When I was a kid in school and played for the YMCA basketball team, I remember one time we played an absolutely horrible team. We beat them, but we played horrible too. And I remember my dad and the coach talking, and I was just kind of an ear listening. And they said, "Man, they played terrible today. You know, we won, but they just played terrible." And the coach said, "They played down to the level of the other team." Have you ever heard that? Playing down to the level of the opponent's team? Do you ever think sometimes in life, when the standards of everybody around us are lower, we play down to the level of everyone else? We settle for the standards around us? I think that's one of the problems. I think another problem is that we wait for the right opportunity to draw godly character from us. As if somewhere deep inside we have this integrity and we're waiting for this opportunity in this moment when everybody will discover what a true gem we are. You know, just the right moment. But something about the Proverbs tells us to live in godly character continually in the most minutest of ways. I think another reason is that we think godly character or integrity is only necessary when someone is watching. Using another basketball illustration, we've used to use the phrase a lot, or I've heard it a lot, it's not a foul if the ref doesn't call it. It's not a foul if the ref doesn't call it. Maybe we think about it that way. It's not a crime if nobody catches me. One time a guy was filling out a job application, and as he was filling out the job application, there was a question that said, "Have you ever been arrested? Why?" And so he answered the first one, "No," but he didn't realize he didn't have to answer the second one. So for the why, he put, "I guess because I never got caught." He didn't actually get the job because he kind of shot himself in the foot. Integrity deals precisely with that which no one will know about. It deals with what no one will know about. That's what integrity is about. Thomas Macaulay said, "The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he would never be found out." And sometimes one of the best measures of knowing that we're not living with integrity, if there are things about our lives that we don't want anyone to know. I'm not talking about the things of the past that you've rendered and confessed and surrendered to God and His transforming power. I'm talking about the present things, that if at any moment there's that time where, and I'm not talking about the dirty dishes in the kitchen, but there's that time of moral lapse, or that period where if anybody were to walk in, you would feel incredibly embarrassed and humiliated. That's what we're talking about. That it's always being consistently the person that you present yourself to be. Proverbs 28:18 says, "One who walks in integrity will be safe, but whoever follows crooked ways will fall into the pit." And so not only do we hear it as a call from God to live with integrity, but we also hear it as a promise of God, that He enables us to it, and He also watches us in this integrity. There are biblical benefits of integrity. His God watching us, this single-mindedness, this purity of heart. And I think Paul is a real good example of what godly integrity is all about. And he shares this as he's writing to the Philippians. He shares this. I mean, he's writing in chains. He is writing from a position that is surely being tried and tested for what he truly believes and what his real motivations are. And he says this, or in fact he says, "I thank God because since I have been in this position, the gospel has become made known even more. That people are coming to know this story because of my difficult times." And he says in chapter 1, verse 27 in Philippians, "To the church in Philippia, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel." Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. Integrity is what we do because we are responding to the grace that God has enabled in us. This salvific presence of Christ transforms our heart and calls us to live responsibly. And so godly integrity produces these things, these three things, and many more than this, but these three stuck out to me. Number one is assurance. It produces assurance. A clean heart, a redeemed conscience. And Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, he says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And so we understand that integrity is also a state of the mind and thinking, and the condition and the interaction between the mind and the heart. "Keep on doing the things that you have learned," so we understand it's also about the hands. "The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace will be with you. That you have a clean heart, and this assurance is something worth attaining and having. Number two, godly integrity produces confidence. We hear Paul so confident about his life and his call in Christ. It's worthy of imitation. In fact, in 3:17 in Philippians, he says to the brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Godly integrity produces confidence that you want other people to learn from what you've learned walking with Christ. And then a third thing, it produces assurance, confidence. It also produces contagion. It's contagious. Others are affected and changed by it. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, just as water reflects the face, so one human heart reflects another. Just as water reflects the face, so one human heart reflects another. And so living in integrity then calls other people to mirror that in their lives. It's a beautiful thing. So that when we live responsibly as the image of God, we're this kind of watery reflection of who He is in His ultimate reality and substance. We're reflecting Him. And then there continues to be this reflection. And how much more so in a community of people who gather on a regular basis and worship and fellowship and eating together and Bible studies together, how much more so does integrity begin to saturate everything about us, who we are, from one person to another? It's contagious. The image of God just being shared all over the place. Like you're in a fun house with mirrors everywhere, except the image is one of beauty and godly. And it's just reflecting and bouncing back and forth. Let me give a clarification that integrity should not be confused with piety. And while piety is good, sometimes pious actions are geared more toward what is being seen by others to demonstrate a pure heart. But whereas integrity is the pure art that one has even when no one may ever see or recognize it, it's that pure heart that we continually have when no one else will ever observe what we're doing. R.C. Sproul, in his book called Objections Answered, tells about a young Jewish boy who grew up in Germany many years ago. The lad had a profound sense of admiration for his father, who saw to it that the life of the family revolved around the religious practices of their faith. The father led them to the synagogue faithfully. In his teen years, however, the boy's family was forced to move to another town in Germany, and this town had no synagogue, only a Lutheran church. The life of the community, though, revolved around this church. All the best people belonged to it. Suddenly, the father announced to the family that they were all going to abandon their Jewish traditions and join the Lutheran church. When the stunned family asked why, the father explained that it would be good for his business. You can imagine the effect that that reason had on the youngster. He was bewildered and confused. His deep disappointment soon gave way to anger and a kind of intense bitterness that plagued him throughout his life. Later, he left Germany, he went to England, and he began to study, and each day he could be found at the British Museum. He was formulating his ideas, and he was composing a book. And in that book, he introduced a whole new worldview, and he conceived a movement that was designed to change the world. He described religion as the opiate for the masses. He committed the people who followed him to life without God. His ideas became the norm for the governments of almost half the world's people, and his name was Karl Marx, the founder of the communist movement. The history of the 20th century and maybe beyond that significantly affected, and perhaps because of a father's values that became distorted, a lack of integrity. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Billy Graham said that integrity is the glue that holds our life, our way of life together. We must constantly strive to keep our integrity intact. That who I am and who I present myself are the same. Edgar Guest has a poem, and it says, it's called, Am I True to Myself? And it goes like this. I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for things I have done. I don't want to keep on a closet shelf a lot of secrets about myself and fool myself as I come and go into thinking that nobody else will know the kind of man I really am. I don't want to dress up myself in sham. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all men's respect. But here in the struggle for fame and pelf, I want to be able to like myself. I don't want to look at myself and know that I'm bluster and bluff and empty show. I can never hide myself from me. I see what others may never see. I know what others may never know. I never can fool myself, and so whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free. There's something to this, that when there's peace with God and godly character, there's peace with ourselves. There's peace with who we are and who we're becoming. And there's definitely, when there's peace with ourselves, there's peace with others around us. That's the nature. That's this plan of this redeeming relationship that God invites us into. There's a quote that I wanted to share with you that John Maxwell shares. He says, "You will only become what you are becoming right now." You will only become what you are becoming right now. And so as we think about godly character, as we think about the call of Paul to the Philippians, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. Living in integrity is partly how we experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Living in integrity can be called a means of grace. That we are putting the grace of God in our life to work. He saved me. He has sanctified my heart for surrender to Him and to His divine guidance. Now, how am I going to live? How am I going to move my life? How am I going to operate? We can always live in integrity if He's called us to. And it will begin sometime. We're becoming who we are right now. And who we hope to be will never be different than who we're becoming. Though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, my friend, anyone can start from now and make a brand new end. This is good news. You are called to the godly life of integrity. It's a life worthy of the gospel. Amen. Will you stand with me and let's sing together?